Are you looking for some great indie podcasts to listen to? Check out the Pod Nation list on podchaser.com, where you can find a list of great indie podcasts, get links to their official websites, and even listen to some of their episodes without needing to create an account or log in. Here's an example of one of the great indie podcasts you can find on Pod Nation.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ross, and what's the crack?
And I'm Rob, and this is our podcast, I Understood That Reference.
We cover all corners of the pop culture spectrum, including movies, comics, which is my favorite, games, and everything in between.
With our own unique mix of games, trivia, a little insight, all wrapped up in Irish accents.
And of course, the tin whistle.
So get up them stairs and download this podcast into your ears.
I'm Ross.
And I'm Rob.
And this has been I Understood That Reference. Available on Spotify, SoundCloud, Podchaser, and wherever else decent podcasts are available.
Yay!
So once again, for some great indie podcasts, check out the Pod Nation list on Podchaser.com.
Welcome to another episode of Better Than Robin Hood. That was a little bit of the soundtrack from this week's movie, Barb Wire, starring Pamela Anderson and her tits.
Big tits.
Massive boobies. Yes, we will be speaking about Barb Wire because I believe that it is better, of course, than Fran's favourite film, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see, won't we? I am Pete Langhout.
I am Fran Langhout.
You are. And what have you been up to this week?
I've been on annual leave.
Oh, annual leave. Yeah. It's all right for some, isn't it?
Walking a lot of walking with a dog.
Although everyone's kind of on annual leave at the moment, aren't they, really? Apart from the people working in healthcare and other vital jobs.
Very vital.
Massive big up to all you people, of course. Thank you for your hard work and hope you stay safe through the crisis, which continues to rumble on throughout the world. However, we're going to try and cheer everyone up.
Yeah.
Nice, light-hearted podcast. So, Fran's not been up to much. I've not been up to much. But I have, of course, still found time to watch Jamie Oliver's weekly food show. That's on the BBC.
Yeah.
And he sent us in another little clip of his song.
Oh, did he?
That he's been singing to the nation about food and things like that and to do in these hard times. So let's have the food section, shall we?
Yes.
It's the food section. Lots of things are happening. Virus and lots of death. The only thing to do at home is make some broccoli. Oh, broccoli, oh, broccoli, you are so nice and green. Oh, broccoli, oh, broccoli, you always keep me keen. Cheesy bites are nice and good, and banana in your hood. Hide some peanuts in your sock and tie cheese strings round your cock.
Cheesy Bites, oh Cheesy Bites, you are so nice and clean. Cheesy Bites, oh Cheesy Bites, you always keep me keen. Salad.
It's the food section. Well, it was nice of Jamie to send us another song, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was... He has lots of time for doing all sorts of things,
well, he's,
doesn't he?
A busy man, but he's very concerned about our welfare at this time of dire need.
Yeah.
And he's telling us all about the foods we should be eating.
Bananas, broccoli.
A banana in your hood, peanuts in your sock, cheese strings around your cock. So,
who would ever have known?
Well, this is why we have Jamie. He's there to tell us what to do. And I, for one, am very, very grateful.
He's a very busy man.
He is. Well, in other news this week, George Lucas has been in touch again. It's been a while since we've heard from George, and that's because he's got himself a lovely parrot to keep him company while he's lonely in isolation. So that's nice for George, isn't it?
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, he doesn't have much luck, does he? Well, unfortunately for George, his parrot has been a bit ill, and you could say it was as sick as a parrot. Oh! Some comedy there for you. It's nice to lighten the tone a bit, isn't it? Let's play George's recording, because I think it's got an important message.
Good day, sir. How can I help you today?
I'm having a problem with this parrot that you sold me, the Norwegian Blue.
The one you bought not half an hour ago?
What?
From this very boutique.
What are you talking about? This is Walmart, and I've had this parrot for 5 years.
I see. And what appears to be the problem then, sir? I must say, it's got a beautiful plumage, wouldn't you say?
Well, it did until yesterday, but now it's got diarrhea. I've got bird shit all over my den, my clothes are ruined, and my house smells like a hobo's underwear. This bird has produced more shit than a White House press briefing. Its feathers are dirtier than a fat guy's bib. This bird, sir, has an appalling case of diarrhea. It's a diarrhea festival at my house. It's a parade of shit. I wake up to shit, I go to sleep to shit, I'm eating shit 3 times a day. I have more shit in my goddamn house than a guy who wears boots made of shit, who's just stepped in a big pile of shit, who's just smeared shit all over his carpets that are also made of shit. Do I make myself quite clear? My parrot won't stop shitting.
Well, you know what the problem is, don't you?
Yes, I do, you fucking imbecile. My parrot won't stop shitting all over my house.
No, it's not that. It's dead.
What the fuck are you talking about?
This parrot is dead. It is an ex-parrot.
It's asleep, you doofus.
Asleep? Asleep? And the only reason it's still upright is because you've nailed him to the cage.
Why the fuck would I nail a parrot to the cage?
You're trying to get a new parrot because you killed this one by nailing it to the cage.
I don't want a new parrot. I like this one. I just want you to ram a cork up its ass so I can begin the mammoth task of scraping the dried parrot shit off my floors. It's an inch thick in places. This parrot is merely resting. I'd need a rest too if I just crapped out enough shit to build a little life-size statue of myself out of parrot shit.
Merely resting? Merely resting? It hasn't moved since I've been here.
He's tired. He's probably pining for the fjords. I bet in Norway this poor little guy didn't have guts like he'd eaten a 10-day-old curry.
Pining? Pining for the fjords? What kind of talk is that? If you hadn't nailed him to the perch, he'd be pushing up the daisies.
Look, you fucking moron. If you don't sell me a cork to shove up my parrot's ass, I'm gonna shove this parrot up your ass so the parrot diarrhea comes straight out of your ass and all over the floor of this Walmart pet section.
I never wanted to work at Walmart, you know?
Yeah, no shit. Nobody wants to work at Walmart.
You know what I wanted to be?
I couldn't give a fuck. Sell me an ass cork for my parrot right now, or I am gonna cause trouble.
No, I wanted to be a celebrity chef. appearing in the mighty television commercials for supermarket chains, telling fat kids not to eat chips, and making sure that every meal the country produces has 7 litres of olive oil in it. I'd finish my long days running failing chains of Italian restaurants, look up at the stars, and sing, sing, sing.
Pasta. 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 Pasta.
Nice going, dickhead. You woke up the parrot.
Well, that was George's recording there.
Yeah.
Quite an incident that happened there.
So the parrot's not dead then?
No, the parrot wasn't dead. George was telling him that. The parrot just had bad diarrhea.
So he was, like, obviously dehydrated.
Yeah, it just needed medicine, really. And the Walmart man was being very unhelpful.
Yeah, he was, I have
to say. He was. It was like he was involved in some sort of comedy sketch.
Mm.
Very unrealistic.
24 hours is like 3 weeks.
Wookies, lasers, Death Star.
So slugs up your butt is bad. Is that what we've gleaned from this?
Hi, we're the Culture Quest podcast. We're on a quest to become more cultured people by discussing a movie, a music album, a book, or anything else really each episode. Check us out, culturequestpodcast.com.
Speaking of things that are unrealistic, we watched a movie this week, as we do every week, in fact.
Yes.
It was called Barbed Wire from 1996. It has a 28% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 14% audience score.
I know.
Very low. Only had a 1-star rating on Now TV, which you can be found on in the UK.
Yeah, I think they were based that on the video trailer for it. Because the trailer was shit.
It was. It was directed by Paul Hogan, who is mainly a music video director and has worked with acts such as Sheryl Crow, Rod Stewart, and Shania Twain.
Right.
It definitely shows that it does come across like a music video. It stars Pamela Anderson Lee, or some people may know her from her stage name, which is Pamela Anderson.
Oh, is that her full name then?
Yeah,
I never knew it was
she
that.
She's married to Tommy Lee, of course.
Tommy Lee?
Tommy Lee, the drummer from Guns N' Roses.
Oh.
Motley Crue.
Are they still married?
I don't know. It was based on a Dark Horse comic book of the same name. It's basically the same plot as Casablanca, which we've also covered on this podcast.
Well, I think very loosely.
It won an MTV award for Best Fight.
Which
bit? The end fight between is essentially a Nazi.
An MTV award for Best Fight.
MTV award for Best Fight. It grossed only $3.7 million at the box office, and a video game of the movie was cancelled prior to its release.
Oh.
It's a shame. I can't believe it only made $3.7 million. I remember there being quite a buzz about this film.
Yeah, but those days people didn't really go to the cinema, did they?
What? Based on what?
I don't know.
1996, everyone went to the cinema.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe that's why it was only...
You're talking through your hat. Fran, would you like to describe the plot of Barbed Wire?
Oh my god. Right, so, Pamela Anderson, mm-hmm. with her big massive chebs.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it starts off... And I think she's a dancer or something.
She's pretending to be a dancer.
Oh, yes.
But she's doing it very well.
She's pretending to be a dancer. She does it very well, yes. That scene at the beginning reminded me of Flashdance, but we'll get to that.
Better than Flashdance.
It's only because the girl in Flashdance has small tits.
Well, yeah, I don't think I've actually ever seen Flashdance. We should probably do Flashdance for the podcast.
We should.
Mm.
So basically she's on a job.
Because
she's like an assassin, I want to say.
Bounty hunter.
Like, she just does jobs, doesn't she?
She's a badass.
And she basically, kills this dude with a high-heeled shoe while she's dancing. And, so she owns a nightclub or a bar called... the hammer?
Hammerhead.
Hammerhead, that's it. So that's meant to be the same like kind of thing as in Casablanca.
Like Rick's Place, yeah.
Yeah. It's not as classy as Rick's Place.
Well, no, they're set in very different worlds.
I have to say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she owns a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And just to go out and earn extra money by dancing or hookering.
Mm-hmm.
That's the impression I got.
No, she's like a bounty hunter / assassin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so she only went with
this dude.
She uses
those things as covers. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because she wanted that other dude, didn't she?
Yeah.
That's why she went with that dude to go and have sex with him.
She, yeah, pretends to be a hooker to get access to someone's apartment so she can find someone.
Can I just say, her bottom is very, very good. Like, she must have done some serious, like...
Squatting,
workouting. I don't know what to call it, really.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. So, yeah, she's basically an assassin, and,
this is about a minute into the film by this point.
Yeah, I've forgotten what happens now. So she basically, there's this rebellion people who have like these retinal contact lenses.
Yeah.
That will allow anyone who puts them in to be allowed on a plane to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically the plot, is the fact that this doctor woman knows about this secret biological warfare thing that they let go and killed loads of people.
It really isn't that complicated a plot.
Is it not?
No.
Let me do it then. Okay. But she's obviously trying to escape this doctor lady.
Mm.
And she ends up going to where Pamela Anderson lives, which is called the Free City.
Yep.
I should have taken notes. And then she's with Commander Cody.
Yeah.
Who's like her like husband, bodyguard.
Yes.
And basically he goes to see Pamela Anderson's brother to see the rebellion and sort of get these contact lenses to Canada and tell them about the horrible things that Washington have done.
Yes.
And Pamela Anderson in the end helps them out, basically.
Mm.
But there's also these really bad dudes. They're like dressed like, I would say they're dressed like soldiers of some sort. But I think they're meant to represent, obviously, German soldiers.
But yeah, and they're basically wearing Nazi uniforms.
They are, yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to say that. I didn't know if it was.
Well, you can say the word Nazi. Yeah. Would you not go and I love Nazis?
No. So yeah, so basically these dudes, like, Pamela Anderson gets in their way and they destroy her bar.
Yeah.
And she eventually gets her own back, so it's okay.
She does.
She doesn't go on the plane, though, to Canada. She's going to Paris, apparently, with her credit card filled with, no money.
Canadian money. So you could say that Pamela Anderson is a bar owner in a free city during an American Civil War, and she has to help two freedom fighters escape the free city to Canada.
Yeah.
Whilst being pursued.
You could say that.
By the Nazis, yeah.
You could say that.
You could say that.
But I like my version better.
I enjoyed your version as well, yeah.
But that is essentially what happened.
That is essentially the plot, yeah. What were some of your highlights?
I think I liked the fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the fighting was very good.
Mm.
And although Pamela Anderson is like obviously a sex symbol to men.
And probably some women as well.
Yes, and women. I thought that even though I saw her naked a lot during this film, I didn't find it offensive.
No.
It was fine.
It's as tasteful as it can be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's never like full frontal nudity, is it? It's not like a porn.
No.
No. So that was your highlight? But...
No. My highlight is probably the fighting.
Right. Okay. All the fighting or any fight in particular?
The end one.
It was pretty cool. That's what won MTV award for best fight.
Yeah, I would have given it an award.
It was pretty cool. Well, I had a lot to enjoy in this film. I haven't made many notes because I thought it was very, very good. And normally I like to write things down.
Yeah, because from the trailer, when you showed me the trailer...
Oh, God, the trailer's bad. If you want to look it up on YouTube, yeah.
I thought it was going to be shit, and it was actually all right.
I've also tried to watch this film before.
Have you?
Yeah, my brother gave it to me on DVD. Yeah, it was a joke present for my birthday once.
Why don't you still have it on DVD?
I probably have somewhere. Yeah, and I put it on once, thinking, oh, this will be a laugh. And I got really bored.
How?
I know. Obviously, I enjoyed the bits with Pamela Anderson stripping.
How old were you when you watched it?
Oh, plenty old enough.
Oh.
Yeah, old enough to enjoy all the stuff. Yeah, maybe I just wasn't in the right frame of mind.
Maybe.
Yeah, because it has a very exciting beginning.
No, it doesn't.
It does. You're Pamela Anderson stripping.
Yeah, but then she just kills someone with a high heel.
Yeah, but you see, like, little flashes of her nipple.
You do.
You see her getting sprayed with water.
Yeah. I like the fact that the guy spraying her with water had a raincoat on.
Well, that was very... Because he had a tuxedo on underneath. You don't want to get your tuxedo wet.
I thought that was very responsible.
Yeah. I thought that was a very good start to a movie. If all movies started with Pamela Anderson taking her clothes off, I would be very happy.
Okay. She's a lot older now, though.
I know, probably not anymore, but yeah. She throws a shoe into the face of a man, because as we find out throughout the film...
She is an assassin.
She is, and she does not like to be called Babe.
No.
No, if anyone calls her Babe...
All right, Babe.
Kills them, basically. It makes her very angry.
Yeah,
it's never explained
angry.
Why.
Maybe she just doesn't like the word.
So would she like be happy with anything else? Like... Slag.
All right, darling.
Doris.
I don't know.
Yeah, but she doesn't like Babe. So
no.
That's...
That's very much made...
That's made abundantly clear by a shoe in the face. There's a Chinese lady in the back of the strip club that she's in. And when it's mentioned to her that she's Chinese, she seems like really taken aback. Like the concept of a Chinese person was like, really weird.
No, I thought it's just because she was talking Chinese, wasn't it?
Yeah, but she's like... The other stripper says she's Chinese, and Pamela Anderson looks amazed by this information.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're introduced to the town of Steel Harbor.
Which,
judging by the overhead shots and the entire film...
Looked like LA.
Well, I think they had one abandoned dockyards area... that they used for the entire film, basically.
That's well used, good use of
It's an economical way, because it's a nice controlled environment as well. If you've got a place like that, you can shoot a whole movie in.
Why not?
Do it, that's what I say.
Yeah.
That's what they did for Full Metal Jacket, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just used the old Docklands in London, turned it into Vietnam.
I didn't know that was a British film.
Yeah, all the training scenes are shot at Bassingbourne Barracks in Cambridge. And all the action scenes are shot in the Docklands.
That's American!
Yeah, the British director.
American.
It's
like...
an American movie, yeah.
Yeah,
it's based
how
on. Yeah, all shot in the UK.
How odd.
Would you Adam and Eve it? Yeah. There's a torture device that we're introduced to.
Yeah. Looked like he was trying to do some sort of weird.
Yeah. He was, as a Nazi, torturing someone. And he seems to be doing it by electrocuting the woman's tits.
Yeah,
over and over and over again. And then, he blows her head up with the device, but there's nothing attached to her head. It's just attached to her boobs. So,
no, it was attached to her head.
Was it? I didn't see anything
attached
to her head.
Yeah, she had that metal thing on half her face.
She did have a metal thing on half of her face. Yeah. I was distracted because she was semi-nude.
Yeah, men only see what they want to see.
Yeah. And, as always, it delights me when I get to see Commander Cody from Star Wars. Temuera Morrison, one of my favourite actors.
He's in everything.
Well, yeah, he's in everything. So you get to see him all the time.
Yeah.
Which is great. He recently played Aquaman's dad in Aquaman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love Temuera Morrison. He plays almost the same character in everything.
Every single time.
Like a sort of hard man... gangster kind of guy. I mean, obviously he doesn't do that in Aquaman, but he still plays a tough guy.
Yeah.
Always plays
tough guy.
A fully Maori tough guy. Yeah.
It's mad though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen him in loads of films.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at his filmography. Yeah, it's extensive. Yeah.
Very much so.
He's been working from the early 90s to present day. Good luck to him, I say.
Yes.
More to Mira Morrison, please. Yeah, so we see Pamela Anderson's bar. It's called the Hammerhead. And whenever we cut to it, there's always a fight outside.
Yeah, or inside.
All times, or sometimes inside, yeah. It's a bit like the bar from Roadhouse.
Yes. I was expecting Patrick Swayze to turn up.
Can you imagine how good this movie would be if Patrick Swayze...
Yeah, Patrick Swayze and Pamela Anderson. But I think she's taller than him.
No, she's not a tall woman at all.
Is she not?
No, she's tiny.
Oh.
Tiny little thing. Massive boobs.
Oh. I thought she was quite tall.
No, not at all.
All right, then.
So there you have it. Now you know. We're introduced to the leader of the resistance called Spike, who for some reason has one of those voice changing boxes.
Yeah, I think maybe she had like some sort of throat problem or a laryngectomy or something in the past.
Yeah, but then we see her turn the voice on.
Yeah, so maybe she just likes to change her voices.
Maybe it's like so no one knows what she sounds like.
Oh, maybe.
It's like a keep her identity a secret even though she doesn't wear a mask.
When they said her name was Spike, all I could think of was Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Spike in that.
Again, a little chat. I think if James Masters from Buffy was the leader of resistance, it would have been amazing.
It would have been so good.
Bloody hell. Yes. What else happens? They've got a machine that can read people's thoughts.
Oh, so these are the horrible people.
It's another one of their devices.
But it can also read dreams.
Oh, it can read dreams.
They can't distinguish between what are thoughts and dreams.
I see.
That's why he was saying, oh, Pamela Anderson's in that. But the good cop was like...
Everyone in this city dreams of wire.
Were you not paying attention, dear?
There was an image of Pamela Anderson on the screen, so I was looking at that.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, she is very distracting throughout.
She is.
Because she is smoking hot.
She is very hot.
Yeah. I tried to pay attention to things she was saying and doing, but there's an awful lot of boob and bum on display.
There is.
There's an entire scene where she's in a bubble bath. Like, I can't pay attention to anything that's going on with that happening. It's not fair.
It's not, is it?
Although, yeah, I mean, I would have thought if someone had developed a machine that could not only put people's dreams onto video, but also read their thoughts while they were dead, I think we'd be living in a very different world to the one they were living in.
Yeah, because then you could find out who the murderer was.
You could find out all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could recreate people's dreams. It'd be amazing.
Maybe not always, but you could definitely find out who a murderer was.
Yeah. And just anything, really.
Yeah.
Because I think people sometimes have thoughts that they forget that are, like, really good thoughts. And I've had great ideas. I'll remember that.
And then you forget them. I've
forgotten them.
I know.
I'm sure everyone's had that
feeling. I forget stuff all the time.
Yeah, you'd never forget anything.
At the minute.
Well, you've got a baby brain, haven't you? So yeah, the congressional side, they're like the Nazis. And those state officers wear essentially SS uniforms.
They do.
But they've also got some stormtroopers with them who appear to be wearing swimming goggles and swimming hats made of leather.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
It's not a very practical uniform.
No.
Yeah, they looked like they were going swimming.
I wasn't sure if they didn't have eyes.
That's a possibility, because eyes play a big part in this world, because they can identify people by scanning their retinas.
Yeah.
You can't do anything without getting your retinas scanned.
It was very odd the way they were dressed, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It reminded me something of out of, like, Star Wars or something.
Yeah. They kind of looked like
a bit
gay,
odd.
Gay bikers, really.
Yeah.
But also gay bikers wearing swim caps. they smashed the bar up. Like, there's just no need for that.
That was really mean.
Yeah.
I thought that's gonna cost her a fortune.
All glasses.
And then she gives it to the bar manager, and she goes, "You can have this place.
You can have this destroyed
warehouse."
And he's
like, "Oh, brilliant. Cheers, love."
Yeah, and he's sweeping up at the end.
I reckon there was loads of money in her bank.
No, she didn't have any money. That was part of the reason she needed to steal it. from the greatest movie character of all time, Big Fatso. He is an enormous fat gangster who's carried around on an industrial digger.
I know, that was brilliant.
He's eating chicken and donuts the whole time. Yeah. It was truly incredible.
He was horrible too, though, because he double-crossed her.
He was mean, but I did think that's probably one of the best things I've ever seen in a movie.
Carrying someone around in
a digger. It's incredible. Yeah.
No, it was like a proper tractor size.
Yeah, a tractor-sized digger. That's how fat he was. He had to be carried around by a digger. Yeah, that's worth the price of admission.
Absolutely weird.
Yeah, I loved it. And he was a pretty cool character.
Yeah. Even he double-crossed her,
double-crosses her. He offers her money and sells her to the Nazis.
Yeah, it's not good.
Can you believe it? during a double-cross, she's supposed to be arrested. And the cop, who's her friend, gives her a grenade. And she throws it in the air. And then he shouts, "Look out, she's got a grenade."
Oh, yeah.
Was it exactly that? I was like, oh, he's not even going to bother acting this scene.
No.
He's going to, "Look out. Grenade.
Look out, mates.
Yeah. Beware.
Beware. Grenade. There is a grenade." And I gave it to her.
And then, massive action scene breaks out for the end of the movie.
Yes.
Very exciting.
The MTV Awards section.
You don't win MTV Awards for just any old shit, you know. You've got to do something pretty
She
special.
Is on a bike. They're driving a little wagon about. It's got some serious firepower on it.
This is one of my notes. There's no way Pamela Anderson was on set the day they filmed almost all of this stuff.
Why?
Well, it's just very convenient she wears a full face helmet whenever she's riding the motorbike.
Well, she might know how to ride a motorbike.
She is never riding that motorbike at any point. I mean, that's fine, because you don't want your leading lady to get injured by falling off a motorbike.
What about when she's on the crane? That's definitely her.
It definitely isn't.
It definitely is.
She's no way ever... I don't think she was even on set the day they shot any of this stuff. I think they just filled her bits in later. Because...
You're so negative.
When the shootout's happening, she's still wearing a full face crash helmet. That's not her.
I don't know.
I mean, you do see her take part in one action scene where she's like hiding behind a table and shooting some bad guys and high kicking and stuff. So she, you know, she did some work there.
I think you're selling her short here.
I just think they were worried about her getting injured or blown up. And obviously, if she goes out, you can't shoot anymore.
Yeah, but if Commander Cody can be there.
Tamara Morrison is quite an expendable person.
And the other lady was there from ER.
Is she in ER?
I swear she is.
I'm going to have to look this up.
Yeah, we will.
So, yes, Victoria Rowell, and she was not in ER.
Oh, I could have sworn she was.
Yeah, she was in The Young and the Restless and Diagnosis Murder. And,
oh, maybe that's where I've seen her.
Dumb and Dumber. She was also in an Eddie Murphy film called The Distinguished Gentleman, which I've not seen.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I've not seen that.
Yeah. And Leonard, Part 6.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen Leonard Parts 1 through 5. So, yeah. But, yeah, she was pretty good, too.
She was.
She was doing all sorts of stuff. Hiding and running and...
pointing a gun.
Shooting guns.
Putting some contact lenses in.
Well, so a few weeks ago, we did an episode on Casablanca, and in that, I wrote a sketch that posited what would happen if Michael Bay had directed Casablanca. And it was almost exactly like Barbed Wire. Which, I really enjoyed. Yeah, the ending was basically exactly the same as what had been the sketch.
I think if Michael Bay had directed it, though, it would have been a bit more blowy-uppy.
Well, it was shot very, very similar to a lot of Michael Bay's 90s work, or 90s and early 2000s work. There's a lot of Dutch angles, slow motion, zooming in.
I think that would have been a bit more booming.
Yeah, I don't know. This was a lot like a Michael Bay movie. There's all sorts of odd lighting and exciting shots. Car chases, gunfire, explosions. Explosions that look like they've got fireworks in.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah. She takes a car from a man, doesn't she? Because she's...
Oh, yeah, for money.
Because she helps his daughter, doesn't she?
Yeah, she rescues, like, an English schoolgirl from the back of a strip club.
It's very odd.
To give to another Englishman.
What makes me think is, what did that dad do for them to want to kidnap his daughter.
I also think that was a bit cut out of that scene, because she goes to meet them under the bridge and he's like, oh, there's been a change of plan, I haven't got any money to pay you. And he's holding his briefcase like he's going to quickly pull a gun out of it and like try and shoot her.
Oh, so do you reckon she shot him?
I reckon, and yeah, there was probably a gunfight, but it didn't look right. So they just cut it and then you just see her driving away in the casket.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just speculating here.
Just speculating.
If any listeners had anything to do with the production of Barbed Wire, please,
Can you please let us know?
Please get in contact with us. There's a fight atop a crane between Commander Cody and another Nazi. That's very exciting.
Yes, and then
Pamela Anderson is hit by a forklift truck whilst riding her motorcycle and is trapped on the skids of the forklift truck. And it's very, very exciting.
She's trapped by the clutch.
Yeah, and she can't get out, but she's rescued
by
Commander Cody with a crane.
Yeah, and he like lifts the crane up before the dude shoots Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
Right between the titties.
She was about to get a tit bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he lifts them up, and then she manages to unhook the crane.
Yeah.
And he goes down to his death and she survives.
The Nazi plunges to a fiery death in an explosion of forklift truck motorcycle.
If he'd landed in the water though, I reckon he would have lived.
Yeah. Also, I mean, trying not to nitpick, but I don't know how big an explosion a forklift truck and a motorbike would make if dropped on the floor.
Ooh.
From what is not a great height.
100 metres?
Yeah, if that. But the explosion was incredible.
It was.
There's lots of cool explosions. At one point, she fires a rocket from her motorcycle, doesn't she?
Yes.
That was badass, and that's never like introduced at any other point in the film.
But that's because it wasn't her, is it?
Really? Well, it wasn't her riding it, no.
I think it was.
I will bet you all of my money.
I see her put that helmet on, and she's on that bike.
It doesn't look fake. It looks like a blonde lady is riding the motorbike with exactly the same hair as Pamela Anderson. So, sure, maybe it is her. It doesn't.
She can ride a bike.
I don't think she can.
Wait, you can get taught to ride a motorbike.
Well, yeah, but I didn't want her to in case she fell off and hurt herself, because then they have to stop filming because she's in like every scene.
Alright.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's probably a
stunt. We won't know.
Probably a stunt double. Might not be. And that was more or less Barbed Wire. Yeah.
An
excellent movie. What was your favourite part?
I would say I like the ending.
Well, the end action scene.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
My favourite part was Pamela Anderson in a bubble bath. Because that was freaking amazing.
It was a see-through bubble bath.
See-through bubble bath. any gentlemen or ladies that are perverts like me, barbed wire, because you get to see it all.
She is very beautiful.
Very tastefully done, though.
Yeah.
She is constantly
you
in a
skimpy
outfit.
You missed the bit
outfit.
Where she flashes her gown open.
I know, I missed it. I'm going to have to watch it again later when you've gone to bed. Some adult time. Who's your favourite character?
Oh, Pamela Anderson.
I'm just going to say Commander Cody. Cause
why? Because you like
him. I love Commander Cody.
Oh, right, okay.
But yeah, to be fair, most of the characters are pretty good. There's no like really stupid ones or annoying ones.
Not
really.
I
quite like the Bail Bondsman guy, Schmidt. That is creepy little.
Oh, yeah.
Weirdo, isn't he? Yeah.
He's really creepy.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah, there's lots of good characters. How many slices of cake out of 12 do you give it?
Ooh, I'm going to say 8.
8 slices of good cake?
Yeah, like lemon drizzle.
8's quite low.
Is it?
No, I think so. Out of 12?
Yeah.
You're not going to bring that up to a 9?
No.
Well, I give this film 11.5 slices of chocolate gâteau.
In chocolate gâteau?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like this film more than Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. But
do you?
The crucial question Do you like it more than Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
No.
Oh.
I'm afraid not.
But you enjoyed it.
There was no real romance.
It's all romance. It's the same story as Casablanca.
No, it's not.
It's Casablanca directed by Michael Bay. Or even better, directed by a man who normally makes music videos, which is very, very clear in the film.
Set in a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah, I, for one, thought it was fantastic, and it should have won many more awards than just Best Fight at the MTV Awards.
No, it was not. It was good, but it surprised me.
It surprised me. I did not know it was going to be this good.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it was better than Robin Hood.
No. Oh, well. Should we cheer ourselves up by using the time phone? We've not used
it
for
a while.
We've
got credit, have we?
Yeah, I've topped up the minutes.
Lovely.
Yeah. So on this day in history, April the 18th, 1521, one of the architects of the Protestant faith was called to speak to the Diet of Worms, an assembly called by Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, to defend charges of heresy for his radical religious writings. And his name, of course, was Martin Luther. So he must be pretty worried about what could happen today. So let's fire up the time phone and give Martin Luther a ring.
Hello. Oh, what's this? This thing, it's talking. What's happening?
Hi, Martin. How are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm not too bad, love. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, like I say, I've had a pretty good day. I'm just chilling out and writing me radical Protestant texts on parchment and stuff like that. I'll probably have a shit after dinner, read my Bible, and then probably just have a wank and go to bed.
Oh, lovely. Charming. Are you not concerned about the Pope and the Emperor denouncing you?
Oh, well, I don't know how up-to-date you are with ecclesiastical, papal, structured religious teachings on an ecumenical level, but basically, without swearing, I'm a bit fucked if I'm being honest. I've written myself into a corner when it comes to all my books and that. The Pope and the Emperor believe their things, and I believe mine.
Okay, I see. Where do you disagree, then?
Well, they think I'm a cunt, and I think they can both go and fuck themselves. I've got a red-hot list of 95 theses exposing the church's sale of indulgences and forgiveness of sins, and I'll go on to produce many more groundbreaking theoretical works. Well, quite frankly, I see the Holy Roman Empire going only one way.
What way is that, then?
Well, I'm a pretty shrewd judge of these matters, you see. It'll probably, over time, break down into small kingdoms over the next few hundred years before eventually becoming modern Germany and a large part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire before becoming split up again into smaller Central European states. To be honest, I mean, that last part's a bit of shot in the dark, if I'm being honest, but I'm rarely wrong on these matters.
So, you're not bothered about the Pope punishing you at all, then?
Oh, well, he already has. I got my letter through a few weeks ago telling me what my punishment was. They just sentenced me to a diet of worms, which I thought was a pretty light sentence, if I'm being honest. I was expecting to be labelled a heretic and excommunicated from the church, which would in turn lead to me having to play a part in forming the Protestant religion. But when they messaged me about the worms, I thought, ah, fuck it, it's a fair cop, I'll just do me time. It's not too bad, really. I've been cheating a bit by making worm curries. They're playing havoc with my guts, but apart from that, it's a pretty easy gig.
Martin, I think you might have misunderstood the letter the Pope sent you. I think they were summoning you to appear before a diet in the town of Worms, not sentencing you to a diet of worms.
Oh, fucking hell. You mean to say I've been eating worms for nothing?
It would appear so, Martin.
Oh, bloody hell. This is an absolute nightmare. Oh, well, at least I've not been excommunicated. Oh, fan-fucking-tastic. This is a fucking disaster. I'm off.
Oh, he's gone.
No, he's gone.
Well, that's a shame, wasn't it? He got his words mixed up.
He did.
It's an easy mistake to make.
Especially when you don't speak French.
Well, yeah, he's a German man, but yeah, he spoke with quite an odd Northern English accent there. It's hard to nail down what part of the North he was from,
yeah.
I thought, but Well, you learned.
Could be north, north, or just north.
As we've discovered since using the time phone, a lot of people have some quite surprising accents.
They do.
It's like they're sort of limited in some way in the accents they can speak.
I know. It just surprises me.
It does, yeah. But as I said, it's an easy mistake to make because when I was researching what to do for the time phone this week, I went, oh, a diet of worms. So there you go. These things can happen.
They can happen.
They can. Well, that's all we've got time for this week.
It is, I'm afraid.
You've enjoyed what we've had to offer. Dead parrots, things like
barbed
that.
Barbed wire.
Pamela Anderson's boobs.
Yeah.
And a man eating worms.
Lovely.
So you can't say we didn't try and entertain you this week. That's all I'm saying.
Hopefully you've been entertained. Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
That's okay, dear. Don't do those accents.
What? My accents are second to
none. You are no Russell Crowe.
I could be Russell Crowe.
No, you couldn't.
That sounds a bit like Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. <Frost, laughs> I'll work on my Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll turn up next week.
Maybe he will.
Yes. Right. Well, if for some reason you want to speak to us, then you can do so via Twitter and Instagram. We are at Pete and Fran Pod or Robin Hood Pod. Both the same on both platforms. Very, very, very efficient.
Yes.
You can also find us on the Pod Nation list on podchaser.com. There's 40 great podcasts on there, and there'll be promos for 3 of them throughout this episode, so check those podcasts out. And a big thanks to everyone on the Pod Nation list this week for your pod raid on our behalf. We've had lots of interest in the podcast, lots of lovely reviews, and an especially lovely write-up from the guys at the Killer Rabbit podcast.
Oh, very nice.
It's absolutely blinding show. They're 3 guys from Yorkshire. They're very, very funny. So
oh,
go
good.
Check that out, the Killer Rabbit podcast. And the same goes for our friends at I Understood That Reference, which is another excellent podcast. 2 Irish guys talking about Marvel movies. Check
lovely.
Yes, that's all. And next week, as has been requested multiple times by people over on Twitter this week.
All right.
It's time at last to watch Robin Hood Men in Tights.
No, they haven't.
I can show you the tweets.
I want to see these tweets.
I will show you the tweets.
I don't believe nothing you say.
It's been recommended. It's been requested. It's in the barrel. But
okay.
We'll be watching that alongside another Robin Hood movie that I've noticed is on Disney Plus. So.
What? Which one's that?
We can either watch the cartoon version or a very old movie version of it. It's up to you.
Cartoon.
So we're watching the Disney cartoon of Robin Hood and Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Okay.
There's something to look forward to.
Lovely. I can't wait.
It's red hot Robin Hood action.
It is.
From beginning to end. Well, that's all we got time for. As I said, we'll see you next week for Robin Hood stuff. Bye.
Ta-da, ta-da.
Are you single? Are you divorced? Co-parenting? Married to a ghost pirate? Are you in an open relationship with a sword swallower and a jouster at the Ren Fair? Do you loathe dating because you never thought you'd be single again? Do you find yourself mindlessly swiping on dating apps only to stumble into people you already know or already slept with? Well, sit back and relax and grab a cup of coffee and share a laugh or two with us. This is Why I'm Single.
Please look for Why I'm Single wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, don't be a douchebag.
So once again, for some great indie podcasts, check out the Pod Nation list on podchaser.com.